the way that my family doctor went about it wasn't super great. He was on it, so he like pulled it out of the fridge and like unbuttoned his shirt and shot it in front of me and was like, yeah, this will be great. You won't be hungry throughout the day. This'll fix things for you. And it was traumatic.
Welcome to Behind the Bite, where we delve deep into the real life struggles and triumphs surrounding food, body, and weight. I'm Dr. Christina Castagnini, a psychologist and certified eating disorder specialist, bringing you a unique blend of personal experience as a recovered individual with over 25 years of professional expertise. In each episode, we'll share the courageous journeys of individuals who have faced these challenges firsthand, alongside insights from dedicated professionals in the field. Whether you're seeking healing, inspiration, or simply a deeper understanding, this podcast is here to empower you on your own path to a better life. Join us as we explore stories of resilience, discuss the latest insights, and strive to foster a community of support and growth. Together, we can break down barriers, challenge stigma, and pave the way towards healing and living authentically. Well, hello, everybody. As always, I'm really glad you're here today, and especially for today's episode, because I'm going to have a really meaningful conversation with our guest today. I am joined by Michelle Rogers, and we're talking about her journey from anonymity to advocacy and how sharing her story so honestly helped create a community rooted in body acceptance, recovery, and healing. She opens up about starting Instagram anonymously, what it was like to struggle with body image and eating disorder recovery while feeling unseen, and how powerful it can be when you fully realize that you're not alone. We're also going to talk about representation, the harm of feeling like you have to look a certain way to deserve help, and why telling the truth about your experience can be so healing, not just for you, but for the people who need to hear it too. So, as always, I love when guests come on here and talk about their personal stories. So I'm excited to go get Michelle. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's podcast. All right. Well, Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This is, I think, the only second time I've ever done a podcast. And I think the last time I did one was like over 6 years ago. So I feel nervous.
Well, I'll hopefully not make you too nervous. I just, I'm excited to have you on. I love your Instagram. And actually, that's maybe my first question is, oh my gosh, how did you get started on Instagram?
Yeah. No, thank you. So I started my Instagram page, oh gosh, I think it was back in 2016. And I initially started it mainly just because I wanted to change the way that I was using social media. I really felt like whenever I was logging into platforms like Instagram or any other kind of social platform that involved like pictures, I felt really drained leaving them. I felt like I was constantly comparing myself. And yeah, I really just wanted to change the kind of way that I was using specifically Instagram. And how I did that was I started a page anonymously. So I never planned on ever posting my face. I never planned on sharing my name or anything like that. I really just wanted it to be a space where, you know, I could post positive quotes, maybe connect with other people who had similar like lived experience to me. I didn't really tell like any of my friends or family about it either. I just kind of did it quietly on the side, sort of as a form of like a diary or a personal blog. But it really kind of quickly became a place for me to, yeah, just enjoy the space a little bit more, meet new people, and I think just leave with a bit more of a positive outlook on like myself and other people. It quickly became one of my kind of favorite places to be online, which is kind of interesting because I think it can have its ups and downs, especially with social media. I'm sure you're aware.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So what was that transition like for you to go from like anonymous to, okay, now I'm going to let people know who's behind all this and show your face? Like that must have been an interesting transition.
Yeah, it was interesting. And I was also quite young. Like I was still probably like into my late teens. So I remember the first photo that I initially posted that like had me in it, I think half of my face was cropped out. So it wasn't a full commitment to like fully saying saying, hi, this is me. But that was kind of my introductory post, was a picture with half of myself. I think I was in like a Forever 21 fitting room trying on clothing. And I kind of just ended up sharing a little bit about my frustration around, you know, being plus size and not being able to find clothing in my size, and also just feeling a bit nervous in a fitting room. And what I quickly realized after posting that was that, I mean, I really wasn't alone. There were so many other people who had had very similar experiences. And in that, I feel like finding just a bit of community, even in the comment section, I started to become a bit more comfortable with posting about myself and my experience. And actually what ended up happening was I started sharing more. And I started sharing more with my full face in it. And there was one post that I made kind of talking about like cropping images and why I want to try to not crop my photos as much and use less filters, just because I feel like I was kind of hiding behind them. Mm. And the Today Show reached out to me to do a digital interview, which I had never had that happen before. I thought it was fake. I remember I found the email in my spam folder and was like, what is this? I don't really think this is anything, but I ended up replying back to them. And then before I knew it, I was having this like phone call interview. I was in a small town. I'm from Canada. So I was in a small kind of rural town in BC, Canada, taking this call with somebody from like New York, and I'm in college, and I don't really know like how to do any kind of interview, but I was going through the call with her. And after that point, after that video, the digital article went out, that really connected me with the community that I have today. I feel like it really allowed me just to, you know, have my story shared to a lot more people than I think I was initially connecting with. And I feel like also, again, just made me realize how not alone I was in my story as well.
I mean, that's a very cool story. And it is in your spam box nonetheless. You're yeah. like, oh my gosh.
Like, yes. Yeah. I definitely was like, there is no way that that's real. But I always check my spam box now just in case.
Okay. Oh my goodness. So you have this interview, and then like what happens in terms of like your Instagram? I'm sure it just blew up after that.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, the algorithms have changed so much over time, but you know, back in that time, having any kind of article with your name mentioned really did help when it came to just visibility and reach. And really, yeah, it felt like overnight I was seeing, you know, maybe hundreds of new followers, and you know, DMs from people who, again, just kind of resonated with what I was speaking to. And it just really, I don't know, it really changed the game for me, in the sense that I think it gave me the confidence to say, oh, okay, you know what, this part of my life that I think I shied away from sharing about, especially with other people in my real life, I now feel like I have a place to do that. And not only that I have the place to do it, but that it's connecting me to other people with, again, that like shared lived experience, which I find truly is an unmatched kind of piece to it. Having, you know, friendships that I've developed over the years through this platform that really helped me kind of steer myself towards accessing certain kind of resources or services. I also struggled a lot, not only with my body image growing up, but I've also struggled with an eating disorder since I was quite young. And also something that I feel like talking about on the internet, never really thought about doing, and still something that, you know, I don't share as much about. However, I don't think that I would have sought the support that I'm now currently accessing for recovery if it had been for starting my page and meeting some of the people in the eating disorder recovery community who really kind of brought me towards those resources and services. So I'm really grateful for that aspect as well too.
Wow. So talking about two very, very private things that most people find like, I don't want to touch this with anything. Like, I don't want to talk about this with anybody. So, I mean, amazing for you. And I'm glad you did that, because I find that when one person opens up and shares something, it kind of gives somebody else permission to do that too. It's like, oh, I'm not the only one. It's a sigh of relief. And that's one reason I'm so glad, you know, like guests like you come on here and talk about it, because my hope is somebody out there is listening and resonates with something you're sharing and going, okay, yeah, you too, me too. Okay. Yeah. And to your point, maybe that's the thing they needed to hear today to start their road to recovery, or to open up to somebody that could be the thing that gets them, you know, on the path to getting help, or changes something.
Absolutely. No, definitely. And I think like a huge thing when it comes to the digital space in general is just like representation. And I think when it comes to eating disorder recovery, having representation of, you know, folks of all different sizes of bodies can be really important as well too. I think that sometimes certain spaces can maybe feel like they're not meant for you, just based on what you're seeing. And so I think having more opportunities to be able to connect with folks of, you know, all sizes who are either in recovery or accessing recovery, it has also been helpful for me just to be able to be like, oh yeah, I can be here too. I'm supposed to be here too. And I think that it's just been very validating. I think validating and through that validation has come the kind of belief of, oh yeah, I also deserve recovery and I also belong in these spaces. And just that I'm allowed to be here. I feel like I might have said that, but I just think that there had been a period of my life where I was just like, oh, I don't really know where I belong on this kind of wavelength of things, and I don't even really know where to begin on what do I need, what kind of help do I need, what's out there, so I feel like a lot of it was just initial conversations with friends through DMs and, you know, learning about different programs that people had been doing all across the world and into the States, and really just understanding what was available, just to kind of get me comfortable even with the conversation. And still it's taken me years, but I've really kind of started my more hands-on recovery journey in the last couple of years. But a lot of it, the buildup had to do with with the community that I've been able to kind of cultivate and meet. And I'm really grateful for that piece.
I want to touch on a few things you brought up, like saying, oh, I belong here. Almost like, I'm wondering, did you have some mindset that like you didn't? Like, could you talk about that a little bit? Because I think that's a common thing people have, almost like, I'm this outsider, or I'm not worthy, or I'm not good enough. And
No, absolutely. I think, unfortunately, and, you know, obviously I can't speak for everybody, I can only speak to my experience, but I think that, as someone that's lived in a larger body for majority of her life, I think there's that feeling of, oh, well, I'm not sick enough to get help. I don't look sick. People, no one's asking me, you know, are you sick? So, I think that it was super easy for me to just, kind of feel like, oh, okay, you know, I've heard of these other treatment programs, but I don't really know like what even program I would be doing or what category I would fall in. Would I be welcomed in these spaces? Would it be weird if I was there? You know, like all those things can kind of run through your head. And I think when it's already the unknown and you don't even know what kind of help you're looking for, it can feel extra daunting when you also don't just naturally see yourself represented in those spaces, even just from an external perspective, whether that be through, you know, promotional material that's available through some of these recovery programs or on their socials even, you know. So I think it's great. And I think I've seen a shift over time where more of these programs, and again on social specifically, where they're just representing a variety of bodies. And I just think that that's so important when it comes to access, is really just showing that there's such a range, and that there isn't a look per se. It's you know, anyone can have an eating disorder, and anyone with an eating disorder deserves to have access to care.
Right. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because that is so common. Like, I'm not quote unquote sick enough, or I don't look like I have one. And I think sometimes even well-meaning loved ones or physicians or whoever will tell people that too. Well, you don't look like you have an eating disorder, or, you know, so it kind of solidifies that in somebody's mind. And I don't know the messaging you got. I'd love to hear it if you don't mind sharing. But, you know, I think that is the myth out there that I love to break, is people think, oh, you could tell somebody has an eating disorder. Like, they will look like they have one. They'd look sick, or I would look sick if I had one, you know, or you could tell which eating disorder somebody has. And you can't, believe me, you cannot.
No. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's just, I think the myth busting piece is so important. And I think that it's, yeah, it's just that much more important to talk about. And yeah, I think it's just been an interesting road for me. I think that like the road to recovery has been so delayed for me because of these myths, and yeah, accessing support has gone through so many detours, whether it was, you know, misdirection from doctors really early on, to you know, not really being taken seriously in other kind of like clinical spaces. So it feels very liberating to be at a point now where I feel like I'm kind of back in the driver's seat a bit more with it, and I do feel like I belong in these spaces. So that's at least good. But I recognize that there's probably someone, if not like hundreds of people, who are just at the beginning stages that I was in maybe like 5 or 6 years ago, if not longer. And I guess like my message would be just to keep going, and you know, don't take no for an answer if you're trying to access something. You know, even if the first person says, oh, I don't know if this is really for you, you can always get a second opinion. You can always try to go additional routes. I think that you know yourself best, you know your body best, and it, you know, if you feel like you need help, then that's really the first step, is really knowing that maybe you do need it and then trying to figure out how to get it.
So was there a point in your life where you realized like, okay, I need help, something's not right here?
Yeah, for sure. I was quite young. Like I think the first time I tried to bring this up with like my family doctor, I'm pretty sure I was like 14 or 15. Like anywhere between 14 to like 16, I think. I can't remember my exact age, but I do remember that when I initially brought it up with my doctor at the time, he did try to like prescribe me basically like Ozempic. It was like the equivalent of Ozempic, which at the time it wasn't regulated in Canada. And also at the time I was still a teenager. So it was kind of, you know, I absolutely respect that everyone has their own journey, and recovery looks different for a lot of different people. However, you know, the way that my family doctor went about it wasn't super great. He was on it, so he like pulled it out of the fridge and like unbuttoned his shirt and shot it in front of me and was like, yeah, this will be great. You won't be hungry throughout the day. This'll fix things for you. And it was traumatic, and it just like, I didn't get any of the help that I needed. I was just kind of told by my doctor that something that he was doing that wasn't quite approved yet by the Canadian government was something that I could have access to. And then from that point on, I feel like it, again, that detour started where it was like, okay, well, I don't really want to do that. What do I do now? Because I don't really feel like my doctor's taking me that seriously, and he wants to put me on something that's just going to make me kind of stop eating. So yeah, it was tricky. And I feel like, again, multiple years went by after that where it was just like, I've given up. I'm not getting help right now because there's other things that I need to focus on. And this is clearly, you know, we're not getting where we need to get to.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So many stories of people going and like not really addressing the illness itself.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's not about just needing to not feel hungry.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, I mean, as I said, I absolutely respect everybody's journey, regardless of, you know, what works for them. But I think really at the root of it, being a young person and having someone just kind of disregard what you were saying. Like, I remember breaking down. My mom was with me. I remember breaking down in the doctor's office because I was just so scared that I had even said the words out loud that I thought I had an eating disorder. And then I think just to be met with that was just, it just felt a little like band-aid-y, maybe. Like, it didn't really seem like maybe I should have been referred to like a therapist or like, I don't know, like someone that specializes with eating disorder recovery instead of just kind of the blanket. But yeah, that's definitely something that sticks out for me in my early kind of recovery days, was just kind of, wasn't even recovery days. It was like, that was my first attempt of trying to get help. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of met with a barrier. So I think that it makes sense that it took quite some time for me to get to where I am today now, where I'm like, you know, in my late 20s going into my 30s, and I'm finally just getting the help that I needed when I was, you know, 14, 15.
That, I'm so sorry to hear that, like, experience. I mean, unfortunately, I'm sure people listening, it's not an uncommon experience either. I think most people do go to their primary care doctors or pediatricians first, and I mean, I've said it on here before, they don't get any education in med school on eating disorders. So unfortunately, there's just lack of awareness or knowledge of the signs and symptoms. You know, so if it takes a lot of courage, I mean, 14, wow, good for you. Like, it takes a lot of courage to open up about something like that. It's a lot of shame and embarrassment. And I mean, that's hard.
Yeah.
You know,
it was. Yeah, it was tough. And I think just like having my mom there too, it was just like such an amalgamation of things. And yeah, it was hard. I'm proud of myself for doing it at the time, given the very little tools that I had. Mm-hmm. And I think that anything that I've done at this point now is really for that version of myself. I think really kind of just trying to rewrite some wrongs and catch up on some time that I feel like was stolen from me a bit when it comes to my journey with recovery and accessing care and, you know, being in accessing these services and things like that.
Mm-hmm. So then when you started to talk more about these things on your social media, did you find that other people were coming to you and saying they had similar experiences?
Yes, which I feel like that, I don't want to say, I guess it sometimes it can feel like when you're experiencing such like common trauma when it comes to like the medical world or, you know, other space, I mean, fat phobia specifically when it's so enmeshed in your life, you can kind of get into a bit of a bubble where it's like, okay, this is my life. This is how things are for me. I don't know. I can't really imagine other people are going through this, but this is what's going on for me. And I think that, so when I started to share more about my stories online, you know, and specific experiences, I kind of would think like, okay, you know, this one's a bit of a doozy. Like, this is a unique story and it sucks and I hate that this happened, but in a way I feel like it's a reclamation of sharing the story and the things that I've learned. But then to be met with people sending me messages saying this exact thing has happened to me, it was shocking for me. I actually could not believe that so many, and I think obviously it's systemic in a lot of ways, but I didn't know. I really didn't know, because I think I was so isolated in my experience that I really thought I was one of the only people going through it. And then I think when you throw in shame and you throw in, you know, the different kind of feelings that sometimes you can have when you do live in a bigger body and, you know, society tells you that some of these problems are like your fault, then sometimes it can feel like, okay, so this sucks, but it also feels like it's my fault. And I have a lot of shame around this and I don't really feel like anybody's going to understand, but this is just the way that things are for me, you know? And so I think that really finding out that I was not alone has been, it's kind of sad. Like, I think it's sad and it's frustrating that other people have been through such similar experiences. However, I think that there is something comforting in finding community in like a shared experience. Even if it wasn't a good experience, I think that there is something there to be said about having that shared lived experience mm-hmm. with other people. I think that there can be healing in that.
Well, it says something, right? I mean, to your point, like before you went on Instagram, what were you seeing out there? Like, what were like the images and what were the messages that you were seeing that maybe made you hesitant to show yourself at first?
Yeah. I mean, so much. Like, I think that just generally social media is just so full of like the kind of standard influencer and celebrities and, you know, media within like diet culture within media is so ingrained as well too. And I think that, again, it just, I just didn't really think that I belonged on there very openly or like loudly. Like I didn't really think I could exist very loudly on the platform because it didn't feel like, again, it kind of a common pattern or I guess the through line in my life is feeling like I don't belong in a lot of places. And I think I've now realized, oh no, I can make myself belong in some of these places. I'm and as I am, you know, I don't need to fit into certain spaces. I'm allowed to just exist as I am, come as I am. So, yeah, that's something that I feel like I've learned along the way.
You know, it must have been refreshing for a lot of people who were hidden behind the shadows or didn't speak up like much yourself and being like, oh my gosh, like I can relate to this person, because I don't think the majority of the world can relate to all the influencers and the celebrities. I mean, that's not real people, right? Like, it's just true.
Yeah.
And so like refreshing to be like, oh, wait, I have that experience. I know what she's talking about. I know that pain. You know, it's like a lot of courage that you took to get out there and say these things. And they're like, that's what I said before, a lot of like relief and being like, oh, okay. That's different. Here's my space that I can like, you know, go on to, and like how inspiring. Like,
thank you.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate that. And I think that I'm endlessly inspired by all of the other people that I follow, and I'm always finding new accounts that just continue to inspire me. And I think that, again, to have so many friends that I've created offline as well, like specifically one of my closest friends is someone who really helped me in kind of, I don't want to say pushing because it was a very gentle push, but kind of bringing me towards those resources for recovery. And I'm just so grateful to have those people in my life that they just get it. They understand. They've been through something similar. And I just think I'm endlessly learning from everybody in these spaces. And I think even with like the body positive space online, it's certainly shifted over the years, but I didn't even really know what like self-love and body positivity was either. When I first started Instagram, I was like, what are these words? Like, what are these spaces? People are taking pictures in like their underwear and it's so cool. And I don't think I can do that, but that's really neat that they feel comfortable to do that. And I just, it really opened my eyes and opened my world in a lot of ways to just existing a bit more boldly and not even just online, but in my real life as well too. I think I'm grateful for that aspect.
You know, that's an interesting thought. Like, what did change in your real life outside of like the social media life?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like a lot, honestly. I have like a career outside of my Instagram that in like the nonprofit world and in marketing. And I feel like a lot of my journey to get to that role has been like having the experience with my Instagram page. And I also started getting into like public speaking, and I did some modeling on the side, which I never thought I would ever get in front of a camera and take pictures, and truly everything that I never thought I would be able to do, I have done. And I think that a lot of that has come again from starting this page and having this community. And yeah, it's just, it is crazy when I reflect back on it, because I've been on Instagram now for quite some time, but I think that it's just wild. I really didn't think I would ever access any kind of support for my recovery. I really thought I was going to put that under the rug as long as I could. I didn't think I would ever do much public speaking or modeling of clothing. I didn't think that I would ever post about myself online. And I'm doing all of those things, and I'm still doing them. That's awesome. And yeah, it's just interesting. I think that all of that, it was a bit of a domino effect. And again, I think it's almost like I gave myself permission to just exist a bit more boldly, like I said.
Well, I mean, again, the word inspiring keeps going through my head. But I'm wondering too, just in general, you kind of alluded to it earlier, just putting yourself out there also can bring criticism or come snarky remarks or things like that. And I'm just wondering, like, did you experience that, and how did you handle that? Because that could be really hard too.
Yeah, Absolutely. I think with, you know, I feel like I've been gassing up, you know, all the incredible experiences that I've had, which is true. Absolutely. However, it's also brought in some of the darker points of my life, because with articles being posted, you know, my full name being put out there, maybe before I'd ever intended on kind of having that shared, I did start to receive an incredible amount of hate comments. I was receiving long DMs. I was receiving comments on articles, you know, threatening me, saying things to me that I would never even repeat, especially not on a podcast, but things that would make me go home and like cry in my shower and make me question if I was supposed to be doing this. And, you know, maybe they're right. Maybe I don't belong here. Maybe if I do put myself out on the internet, I deserve these critiques. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to not start to believe what's said to you if it's said over and over and over again, especially when some of the terminology that's used kind of like it's like your fears personified, your own internal kind of shame-based fears, having them said back to you by strangers about your body, about your recovery, or the validity of, you know, your eating disorder. It's has been hard. I would say that over time, I don't receive as many hate comments as I used to. However, in the heart of it, it was quite difficult. And there were multiple times where I considered just quitting altogether.
I can't even imagine, because I think that's the hardest part too, is like, you already have this negative self-talk and inner critic that you're dealing with, you know, especially going through recovery, and then to have somebody come at you with that, or many somebody's come oh my gosh. I can't even imagine. Like, it's a public forum too. So, I mean, I'm just imagining too, like, for your followers, like, if somebody made a comment in one of your posts and they saw that, like, how that would affect them, would it be like, oh, see, look.
Yeah.
Like, how did you handle that?
Yeah. So that's like a whole other component, I think, to running like an Instagram page where you're talking about yourself, but you're also conscious of your community members and a lot of them having like shared experiences. And so honestly, a lot of the time, the worst kind of influx would happen if like a video of mine went viral. And I would be on my phone like night and day trying to delete things as quickly as possible, honestly, to the point where I wasn't even really looking at the comments anymore, because it was just getting to the point where it was just, I'm like, I can't retain this. However, I will say that Instagram has become a bit better. It does have filters, on it now. So the filters can allow for you to kind of block out certain words. It's interesting, because do I feel like my engagement over time has maybe gone down a bit since I've added those filter bumpers? A little bit. And I'm kind of curious, because, you know, maybe a few years ago, 4 years ago, my videos would maybe have a bit further reach than what they do now. But when the videos, quote unquote, did their best, that was when I was receiving most of the hate. So I'm fine with, you know, just really reaching the right people, being on the right side of the internet. I don't have to deal with it as much anymore. But there are still times where I just open my phone and someone's left something there that, you know, I was going about my day, I was having a perfectly okay day, and then suddenly I see something and it's like, oh, okay, that doesn't really make me want to leave my house today. I don't really want to be perceived today, because I feel like the way that people are perceiving me online, it's hard to not think, well, people are probably perceiving me that way in person as well too, but they might not be saying it. It's easy to kind of get locked into that, for sure.
I think that's the underbelly of the internet and social media. It's like, you don't know who this person is, what their motivation is. Even if they mean it, they could just be like some troll trying to stir the pot, you know? But for you, it's this very personal experience. And I can see why you'd be like, do I even want to keep doing this?
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah. There's definitely been moments, but I think that, you know, as much as there's been darker periods of time, I think that the trade-off of the community and connecting with people, I think it's worth it. I think it's there's still, again, I've been tested multiple times, and there's been times too where I just take breaks, you know. At the end of the day, like, social media, you need to take breaks from it anyways, but if it's becoming a place where your brain is not thriving, taking time to pause, I think, is so important. And just really leaning on my own, like, in real life community, my sisters and my family and my close friends and my therapist, and, you know, really leaning on, like, that network, I think, has also been vital as I've navigated that. Because the thing, I experienced it in real life too. So it's not, this isn't my first introduction to being spoken to like this. However, I think that people have a certain level of confidence and comfort with what they want to say on the internet. And I know that many people, regardless of if you're plus size or, you know, in recovery or things like that, most people have been, you know, touched by some kind of hate or troll. And it's just unfortunate. And I think that it's easy to also think, oh, well, okay, it's just on the internet, so it's not that big of a deal. You retain what is said to you online. It still has an effect on you. Don't minimize what's being said to you. Protect your peace. Block them, report them, take a break, do whatever you need to. Yeah, protect your peace and protect yourself.
Yeah. And again, I'm so sorry you had experiences like that, because, I mean, this is your personal space. You're reaching people, you're being vulnerable, and, like, oh my gosh, like, I don't personally understand why people feel the need to be so nasty.
Yeah,
I don't know, you're just spreading, like, love and, like, positivity and, like,
I know I'm like, do you guys just need a hug? Like, I really feel like, what if we held hands for 5 minutes, I think we would all be okay. Yeah, I think that, unfortunately, when I see that stuff, it's like, okay, you're hurting, and you want me to hurt too, because you think that I'm not hurting because the way that I'm posting online, but you don't really know what's going on for somebody. And yeah, I just absolutely block away as much as I can. And again, I will take full breaks as well too, because it's just like, it's not, at the end of the day, my real life and in real life is the most important, and my mental health is the most important, and I'm not going to jeopardize that just to be online, you know.
Yeah, but it also speaks to how toxic our society and the messages are still, and how much they do impact people and everybody and our perception of, like, what the ideals are and, like, what people are supposed to, like, look like. Absolutely. And all of that, and, like, which is so sad. And I'm glad you're still sticking with it and, like, challenging those and, like, you know, being real, because those ideals make us all sick and they affect all of us. Yeah. In very toxic ways that I don't think people stop and think about sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah. You still absorb it. And I think that even if you do block or you do delete, it was still said to you. And so I think just kind of to remind folks that, yeah, like, words still hurt. They hurt even if they're just on your phone. It's direct line to your, to you. So it makes sense that there would be impact there.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, if anybody out there is listening and they're having these nasty thoughts about themselves and being like, I'm not good enough, like, I don't deserve treatment, or maybe they don't even know they need treatment or they're sick, but they're just feeling, like, really bad about themselves and, like, very self-conscious. Like, is there anything you could, like, say to them right now that they're listening that maybe that could help them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, maybe just for starters, like, ask yourself where that thought is coming from and, like, what it's rooted in. I think that half the time those thoughts aren't even our own. They've been kind of embedded into us. And also, who are you to say that you don't deserve access to support? You know, I think that you should be championing for yourself as much as you can. We can obviously be our own worst enemy, but I think that, yeah, I think that you deserve support, you deserve help, you deserve to be seen if you want to be seen, and you deserve to take up space. and in any kind of space, whether that's, you know, again, recovery space, online space. Gosh, if you want to be a superstar, you can do that. Like, if that's something that you really want to go for, but you don't believe you can do it because of how you look or, you know, where you're at in your journey, I just think, yeah, question where that's coming from. And maybe if you can, try to peel the layers back a little bit, because I think that we can hold ourselves back a bit sometimes based on our environments, obviously, when it comes to, yeah, just getting help or putting ourselves out there. And yeah, you deserve to be seen if you want to be seen.
Absolutely. How long did it take for you to get there?
Oh, I'm still getting there. I think it's I don't want to say it's a fake it till you make it scenario, but I do think that, especially when I started so early on as well, that I kind of just started posting in a way that, like, I wanted to believe that I felt that way. And I still think that there's times, of course, even when we're talking now, where it's easy for me to say these things to you and to anybody who's listening. Do I believe them 100% of the time? No, I don't, because it's difficult to fully believe it 100%. It's super easy to still doubt yourself. But I think the more that you speak it into existence, the more that you write it down in a journal, even if that feels cheesy, it helps, I promise. I just think that the more that you surround yourself with the possibility of you know, the kind of path that you want to move towards, it becomes bit by bit a little bit more accessible, I think. And some days I believe myself, some days I don't. It's okay if you don't believe yourself right now. It doesn't mean that one day you won't.
That's so honest. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I can't lie. You know, I still have, like, so many imposter syndrome moments, even in my recovery or on my Instagram or if I'm at an event or anything. It's super, even right now, you know, I think I'm so grateful for this opportunity to speak on the podcast. And yeah, but I still, again, like I said in the beginning, I'm still nervous. But I'm just going to show up anyways.
And I think that's the thing, is like just being genuine and human, because, you know, I've thought about it, like social media is like this fabricated, like curated story and like the shiny moments people put out there. And I think that's maybe why people relate to you so much and to your page, because you're just genuine, right? Like, so much of it, when people look, it's like everybody on there is like perfect and is these perfect moments. And it's like, oh my gosh, I don't look perfect. I don't look that amazing. They're having these great moments. And then you compare and you're like, oh, like I feel bad about myself now. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think, you know, we called it the Facebook effect back in the day. It's like, oh, you go on Facebook and then you get off and you feel worse about yourself because right. You see all these shiny yeah. moments and everyone's having that great life.
Yeah.
But then, you know, to see your Instagram page, you're like, you're real. I mean, you're having a great life too, but like it's real and it's yeah. genuine and you're talking about real feelings and real struggles. And people are like, oh yeah, like me too. I can yeah. relate to this, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's refreshing.
Like, thank you. That's so sweet. Thank you. I appreciate that.
But I think that's why people like are following you. And I'm glad that's what we're talking about. It's like you're talking about the real stuff behind all of it, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, you have bad days. Yeah. Like every day is not like, oh, like I've arrived and every day I think it's amazing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. And it's like, yeah, I'm just a normal gal. I don't know what I'm doing half the time. I am just trying to show up as, you know, authentically as I can. And that's really all that I can do. There's no real rule book.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I appreciate you being genuine and coming on here and doing all you're doing. I think the world needs more of that. So personally, but I don't know if there's any, well, I do want to get your social media handles and ways people can follow you and find you. So would you share that?
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm at Body Posy Power on all socials. Yeah, would love to connect with you there. Yeah, just thank you so much for having me. Again, I really appreciate it. And I appreciate what you're doing as well, too, with regards to you know, just giving folks a platform to be able to talk about their story. I think it's really important.
Thank you. And any last final words before we end?
No, just thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening today. Behind the Bite podcast is created by me, Dr. Christina Castanini, as part of the Los Angeles Tribune Podcast Network and produced by the Tweaky Tales. I love hearing from my listeners. So if you like the show, please like, rate, and subscribe to it on whatever platform you're on. And for anyone who wants to understand their relationship with food better, or who might be wondering if they have an eating disorder, I have a free 9-week e-course at my website. Just go to www.behindthebitepodcast.com to get your free e-course today. Please note, this podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is given with the understanding that neither host, the publisher, or the guests are rendering legal, clinical, or other professional information. If you want or need a professional, you should find one to work with who can address your individual needs and situation.